my underground lair.
You're listening to the Generation Y podcast, covering everything from the 90s and early 2K.
Hi, everyone. My name is Amy.
And I'm Josh.
And you're listening to the Generation Y podcast, where we cover everything from the 90s and the early 2K. So sit back and chill, and we're going to talk about some Roseanne, my favorite show growing up, and it's still my favorite show today.
So before we go any further with our episode, we should quickly address the elephant in the room, which would be the fact that it has been over a year since our last episode.
We're lazy.
We're not lazy.
No, I'm just kidding. We're busy. We've been really, really busy. I have been training to be a jazzercise instructor. And yes, jazzercise is still around. And it's not leotards and leg warmers. My rant is done. Now, what have you been doing for the last year?
I've been busy working, and since the last time we did an episode, we got married in last June.
Yeah, we've been.
Because our last episode was what? Y2K, which was like December of 2014.
We did it for the new year, yeah.
So it's been a while.
And we've had so many people. It's actually really funny because I honestly didn't know that we had so many listeners, and I guess we really did, and I mean, we have even more now since I've been kind of posting on Instagram, and I know that we have a lot of listeners now that found us from Instagram, but I had no idea that there were so many people that wanted us to come back, so I was getting emails and tweets and all kinds of stuff asking when we were going to come back, so here we are. We're back, and I think we're here with a good topic.
Yes.
And can we just do a side note real quick? Three dogs. And you're going to hear them. Like, right now, one of my dogs, Wilson, is next to me snoring, so you're probably going to hear him at some point.
It won't be. I don't think we picked up that
so
one.
So if you hear animals, that's why. Okay,
so
side note over.
Totally derailed my train of thought. Oh, sorry. We're back again after a year off, and what I want to say real quick is our goal is, going forward, to do a weekly podcast. So we might miss a few here and there, but you know, we miss doing it, and we thought about it and decided that, you know, even though it was hard with everything we had going on to make the time to do it, we decided that we're going to try to make the time to do it. So
yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah, me too.
We have some interesting shows coming up. And one last thing I want to say before we get into the main topic, which is Roseanne, is that, you know, it's quite the time, even now, even more so than when we last did an episode. 90s stuff is popping up everywhere.
Because we're getting old.
You got Fuller House coming out on Netflix, this month?
Yeah, February.
So if you listen to this show later on, this is February 2016. We got Fuller House. We have a new Zoolander movie. We have a bunch of snacks and things from our childhood that have made a comeback. You have The Splat, which is Nickelodeon's new network for nothing but 90s and early 2000 programming. So it's a good time to be doing a podcast talking about 90s and early 2K.
It is. So make sure you guys are subscribing. If you can, leave us a review on iTunes, because that would seriously make our entire life.
I don't know about that. I mean, it'd be exciting.
It would. It would make my life.
And guests, you know, we'll do this. If you leave us a review, and we actually have a couple we're going to talk about at the end of the show, we'll give everybody a shout out. And at some point, I think we're going to end up getting, not sponsors, but some 90s stuff, products that we're going to review on the show. May occasionally we can do some sort of giveaway or something if you give us a review.
That would be fun.
Yep.
That would be really fun.
All right. Without any further ado,
let's
talk about Roseanne. So, Roseanne, I watched this show a little bit growing up, but I really didn't.
Didn't your dad hate this show?
My dad.
So you never watched it?
I did, but my mom, I remember watching. I remember watching it as a kid, some. But my dad's not a big fan of this show at all. And I remember.
He doesn't like how loud Roseanne is.
Hey! Hey! So what? It's only the most perfectly shaped women for you, you big, hairy, toothless, sweaty, cross-eyed hog!
Yeah, well, some people didn't. I'm sure we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Her voice.
But, you know, growing up, it wasn't a show that I watched a lot of. But I do remember, you know, watching it a little. And I remember watching it, I think it was at a friend's house one night when it was on television, too. And I remember seeing it when it was, you know, airing. But then, you know, was it not TV Land, Nick at Night?
Yeah.
They started showing reruns of Roseanne episodes, and so I started watching on that. But it really wasn't until you and I started dating, 5 years now?
Yeah.
Like, 5 years ago, one of the first things I remember we did when we started dating was you had all the seasons on DVD.
Because I was obsessed.
And we started watching Roseanne, like, we watched it for, 3 months straight? From season one, not obviously in one night, but, like, you know, watching a couple episodes every night from season one all the way to season 9. Because there's 9 seasons of the show.
Kind of like Netflix binging, but Roseanne DVDs. Yeah.
And so, you know, we still, what, once a year, probably won't watch all 9 seasons, but once a year we'll get into a Roseanne kind of mood and we'll watch, you know, 50 or 60 episodes at least, a couple every night. So, cool. So let's go into a little bit of the backstory behind Roseanne. And then what we can do after that is I'll have you talk about the different characters and who was playing what. Because the one thing I'll say about this show is the cast.
Oh, perfection.
The cast was perfect. Like, I can't imagine if you had any person on the show, obviously other than Becky, which we'll get into, because that changed a little bit. But, like, if you didn't have Roseanne, obviously the show's named after her, there wouldn't be a Roseanne. If you didn't have John Goodman, you know, playing the husband, it would not be Roseanne.
I cannot picture anybody playing any other
character. Yeah, if you didn't have Laurie Metcalf playing Jackie. I mean, there's so many essential people on this show. And this show launched the careers of a lot of different actors and actresses. Quite a few of the people that were on this show end up being on The Big Bang Theory. A couple others had careers on other television shows like Grey's Anatomy, movie careers, comedy careers. So it really launched the careers of a lot of people in show business. Let's talk a little bit about Roseanne and the premise behind it. So Roseanne was basically a sitcom comedy. It really is one of the shows where there's some moments where it's very serious, and there's some moments where it's really, really, really funny. And they're able to really do that well, is that some episodes are very serious, some episodes are very funny, but you're never bored. I don't think there's a single... I know in a lot of shows that you and I watch, there'll be like a season where, you know, the old saying is it jumped the shark. Did you know where that came from?
No.
So they refer to a show jumping the shark, because so the show Happy Days, in one of the middle seasons of Happy Days, there's an episode where Fonzie, you know who Fonzie is, right?
Yeah.
Jumps a giant shark. Remember, it's like a not a plaster, but like a paper or cardboard shark with his motorcycle.
Nice.
And so they call that jumping the shark. So jumping the shark refers to a show where, like, it's not good anymore.
Oh,
and there's a lot of shows that you and I watch where there's a season that really, really is bad, or there's episodes that are really bad that are kind of boring. And Roseanne, I don't think, except for the last season a little bit, which we'll get into, season 1 through 8 is perfect.
Oh,
There's not any slowdown. There's not a moment where you're watching and go, wow, this is really boring. It's really good, the entire thing.
And the writing is great.
The writing is fantastic.
The jokes are good. Everything is just awesome.
So, you know, Roseanne is the story of a working class family. They're struggling with some of the same problems that I think a lot of us are. And I think the reason why it is still so popular today is because we can relate to it. I mean, we're kind of, in a way, the 2010s, I'm going to call it, or where we're at right now, is a lot like the 90s. Middle class is having a hard time, which was a bit, definitely the early 90s. Middle class had a bit, really hard time. And towards the end, you know, that got better, but people have a hard time paying their bills. People are living paycheck to paycheck. And Roseanne talks about all these things, talks about marriage problems, raising children, money, and then obviously dealing with in-laws, which is a big topic.
Yeah.
So the story circles around the Connor family, which is a family of 5, DJ, Darlene, Becky, Roseanne, and Dan. And we'll get into it in a minute. You'll talk about who played who. And the household's mother, Roseanne, is basically the glue holding the whole family together. If she has to keep down a job, she keeps down a job. If she has to raise children, she raises children. And obviously her sister, Jackie, is a very integral part to their family, and also
I think she makes the show.
Oh yeah.
You're addicted to the internet.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. I've seen this before. I lost 2 friends to this.
They were weak. They were weak. I am strong.
Where's Andy?
He's fine. He's in his room with his toys. I've got him on the monitor.
Okay, Jackie. I think it's time to turn off the computer.
No, not now, not now, David. I'm learning useful things. I'm growing as a person.
You're in the Urkel chat room. I'm gonna unplug you, Jackie.
David, get away from that right now.
This is for your own good, Jackie.
Wait a second. Dave, oh, you can't treat me like this! Plug me back in. I'll quit tomorrow, I promise. Don't take it from me now, man! I need it. Just 5 more minutes.
So Roseanne began, actually, its whole life, actually, which is weird because a lot of shows will move around, It was on ABC, which for our folks that are listening from out of the United States, there's four major networks in the U.S., ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox. And ABC was where Roseanne aired. And it began in 1988. October 18th was the airing of the first episode. But we're going to grandfather it in because the majority of the show took place in the 90s, and it got huge in the 90s. Mm-hmm. All right, do you want to talk about who played who on the show?
Yeah. So first we have, you know, obviously we have Roseanne. She was played by Roseanne Barr. So her character was Roseanne Connor, and we already talked about her. She's the mother, Dan's wife, the loud one, very assertive, very opinionated, female, feminist, kind of a really strong woman figure. So then we have Laurie Metcalf, who played Jackie Harris, and she was Roseanne's sister. She is, you know, she has a lot of, I guess you could say, daddy issues.
Oh, she's very dysfunctional.
She, you know, she goes from relationship to relationship, and these are, like, poor relationships. You know, she doesn't make a lot of good life decisions, but she's also incredibly funny.
Yep.
And, you know, her and Roseanne are kind of a duo together. Like, they're each other's rock, and you see that a lot during the show.
And let me add real quick, and we'll talk about this a little bit later when we go through a brief synopsis of the seasons, because at some point, I think we love the show so much, and there's other shows that we'll do this with, too, like Raymond, Full House. Everyone loves Raymond because the beginning of that was in the 90s, so we should talk about that. It's really an early 2K, where we'll probably do, like, Spotlight on Season 1 and 2, Spotlight on Season 3 and 4. We're going to do that with Roseanne, too, and go episode by episode at some point. Today is just kind of like a brief overview, but we will get into, like, a summary of the seasons. So the one thing I wanted to say was if you have, and sorry to interrupt, but I thought of this. If you have not watched the show and you want to watch a show and you don't want to find out any spoilers of what happens, then you probably ought to not listen to this podcast because we're going to go into some detail. But the one thing I was going to say when you're talking about Laurie Metcalf playing Jackie was you mentioned that she has daddy issues. Early on and for a while on the show, you don't know that she has daddy issues. In fact, a lot of the anger that Roseanne and Jackie have, they direct towards their mother. And later on, we found that actually Dad, you know, was abusive and there was some problems with the family.
Yeah. All right. So we have Michael Fishman, who played DJ, and he is the youngest son. He's kind of the awkward nerd in school. You know, he gets picked on, but he's also, you know, pretty smart and wants to be, you know, his goal in life is to be like Steven Spielberg and film and make movies and that sort of thing. But actually, this is a little fun fact for you. If you watch the very first episode, the pilot, you'll notice that there is a different character or a different person playing DJ. His name was Sal Barone. And the reason that he was only in the first episode is because technically there were two reasons. Him and Darlene, Sarah Gilbert, they were not getting along. They were getting in, like, numerous arguments, but the...
He was what would have been like, wicked young DJ.
Yeah.
And even Sarah Gilbert, who plays Darlene, she was what do you think, like...
10, maybe?
Was she that old? I thought she'd be more like 7 or 8, like, she was young, no?
No.
Well, you know, they're kids, and kids fight, and...
But the reason that they told everybody was because he grew too much between the first and the second episode, where he couldn't really pass off as, an 8-year-old. So next we have Dan, who is played by John Goodman, and everybody knows who John Goodman is.
Sorry.
Wow.
That's you. Sorry. I'll edit that out.
So next we have Dan Connor, who's Roseanne's husband. He's played by John Goodman, and everybody knows who John Goodman is. You can recognize his voice anywhere.
Fred Flintstone.
Yep, that's him.
That was 90s, right? Flintstone movies?
I think so.
Yeah.
So John Goodman, so you have Dan Connor, who... has, you know, he's a strong man, always likes to fix things, but he has a drinking problem, he has an eating problem, he doesn't take care of himself, and comes to play, would that be the right phrase to use, in a later episode?
Well, it becomes a large premise of the show, is Dan's inability or unwillingness to take care of himself, and that causes some fights and arguments and problems for the family.
And Dan, too, along with, like, you know, the drinking and the eating and that sort of thing, he had trouble holding down a steady job. They lived in a town, a fake town, Lanford, Illinois, where there's not much work. There's not a big population.
It was like a suburb of Chicago, right? Like outside of Chicago?
It was an hour outside of Chicago. But, you know, everybody knew everybody. There was one factory where everybody worked at, Wellman's Plastics, and there really just wasn't steady work. So Dan was in and out of jobs a lot, so they were always really struggling for money.
I got a gold card in the mail the other day. It has a $5,000 limit. I was saving it in case we needed it.
What fish brain company gave us a gold card?
Well, they ask you for your annual income and your social security number. Maybe I switched them.
So next we have Darlene, who was played by Sarah Gilbert, and everybody knows Sarah Gilbert. She was not on The Big Bang Theory, was she?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, she was.
Oh, she was. Okay.
She guested. She wasn't like a regular person.
She's on The Talk, right?
Yep, The Talk, which is a competitor to The View. Why I know that, I don't know, because I'm not normally home and not a housewife watching daytime television, but...
Okay, you just insulted, like, all the housewives.
I apologize. Why I hit that out?
I'm a housewife.
I
don't watch daytime television. So you have Darlene. She is kind of... I think what they did here was they tried to make her a lot like Roseanne, but in a different way. She's very opinionated. She's a little dark, but she's also very creative, and she's very smart.
She's very much like Roseanne.
But in a darker way. I think in a more independent... I don't know how to describe it.
I think there's like episodes where Roseanne talks about how much she reminds her of her as a teenager. I think teenagers, especially in... I'm going to get yelled at for saying this. I'm going to get nasty emails. But I feel like teenage girls are more dramatic.
Oh, yeah. Everybody knows
they
that.
They all go in their rooms. And where like she has, and there's an episode where Darlene has a dark phase where she's wearing black t-shirts and black pants and black shirts and black hats and... I can think of, like, when I was in high school, of like, there was, like, 20 girls doing that.
Yeah.
So I think she's very much like Roseanne. Especially as she gets older, later on in the series, she's very much like Roseanne as a writer and has some of the same qualities.
Yeah, so she's one of my favorite characters. Her and Jackie, my two favorite characters. All right, next we have Becky, who's the oldest sister. She's played by Lacey Goranson. She's, you know, the smart bookworm, I don't really know what else to say about Becky. I know that she was a big part of the show.
She starts off as like the good, not the good.
The good child.
No, because Darlene was a good kid too, but Darlene was Dan's, you know, tomboy, and Darlene did sports, and Becky was the, you know, going to the dance and wearing dresses and good grades in school.
She helped with the chores. Like, she was the good kid. Yeah.
Yeah. But we should mention that it's not just played by Lacey Goranson. It was also played. She also played by Sarah Chalk.
Chuck.
So you want to explain what that's about?
Yeah. So in 1993, what had happened was Becky wanted to go to college, so they brought in another character or another actress to play her, and they say that they look alike, but I don't think they look anything alike. And there's multiple times in the show, too, where they kind of address that in a comical way. She was in seasons 6 through 9, and in season 8, they went back and forth between characters.
You're just talking about Sarah wasn't in season 6 through 9, right?
Yep, sorry. Sarah was in season 6 through 9. And in season 8, Lacey and Sarah kind of alternated.
Which is weird.
And they made fun. They addressed it a lot in the show. It was actually kind of funny. Like, they would say, you know, where have you been? You know, like,
right.
But then we have David, who is Darlene's boyfriend, future husband, played by Johnny Galecki.
Of Big Bang Theory fame.
Yep, Big Bang Theory.
Probably what he's most well known for now.
Which is weird, because, like, I see him and I still think of David.
Big Bang Theory is, like, one of the most watched TV shows ever in the history of television.
But I know, I think just about, can't get the David character out of
think
my
about
head.
How many people can say they were in, like, two of the biggest shows of all time television.
I know, that's amazing.
He was on Roseanne, and he was on Big Bang, and is on The Big Bang Theory currently.
Huh. But David's character, he's sort of a quiet, artsy, sensitive man who's always trying to compete with his brother Mark, who is, like, kind of the manly man and kind of rugged, who is played by Glenn Quinn. He plays Mark, who's David's brother, who is Becky's boyfriend / future husband. And with Mark, they kind of developed his character a little bit more over time. He kind of started off as, like, the bad boy,
motorcycle, you know, I don't like your parents type character.
And the Connors hated him, too.
They did. So Becky would sneak off and date him and do all the things that teenage girls do. So, and then later on, they developed his character into more of a male airhead.
None of this really matters because I'm going to win.
What's it going to be this time, Mark? It or is?
Read it and weep, smart guys. Oxygen.
Wow. That's X on the triple letter score plus triple word score is 99. Add that onto what he has. My God.
Wait a minute, Mark. Oxygen is not a word. Yeah, she's right. Oxygen. Good one. That's not a word.
Yeah. It's an abbreviation.
Bull, I saw it on air tanks.
Well, yeah, of course. That's because they have to use the abbreviation because the full word wouldn't fit on the air tank. Unless you printed it vertically, which is just against the law.
How would you describe it? Like, not very bright.
Not very book smart.
It's actually really funny. I like that Mark a lot better than the earlier Mark. So then you have Beverly Harris, who's played by Estelle Parsons, and she's Roseanne's mother. Roseanne and Jackie's mother, and she's kind of the overbearing, judgmental mom. And they address in the show how much they can't stand her. I'm sorry if my mother was like her. It would drive me crazy. All right, then we have Crystal, played by Natalie West, who is just a friend. You don't really see her much you see her in seasons 1 through 4, and she appeared occasionally in seasons 5 through 8.
But the big thing for her, which, we're going over just the main characters, and we probably should look up and see who played Dan's father. Not that it matters, but Crystal, later on, marries Dan's father, who not only does Roseanne have issues with her parents, but Dan's got some problems with his father and some anger there. And Crystal ends up marrying Dan's father, who's like far older than she is. And that ends up causing some tension later on.
Yeah. Next we have Leon, where everybody remembers Leon. He was in seasons 3 through 9. So almost all of them. He was played by
Leon.
Martin Mull.
He's funny.
He is funny. He kind of follows Roseanne from job to job. In yeah. weird situations. So then we have Michael O'Keefe, who played Fred, who is Jackie's baby daddy / husband. Not much really to say about him there. Then you have Nancy, who was played by Sandra Bernhard. She was kind of the airhead friend, conceited, self-centered.
Very full of herself.
Yeah. So I feel like that is really the most important characters, all that entire list.
Yeah, there's some other minor characters that kind of appear throughout, but again, was a brief overview. And when we go up like season by season later on, I'm sure we'll get into the other characters. But we're just kind of covering, the main focus right now is the main characters. So I thought it'd be fun now for us to do some little known Roseanne facts. Amy did a great job of going on the internet and finding these.
I did.
So.
And I also knew some of these facts. I didn't even have to look them up.
So in season.
True fan right here. Sorry. Go ahead.
To be very excited about these facts.
I am.
So in season 1 of Roseanne, Roseanne worked at Wellman's Plastics. Is that what it was called? She worked at a place called Wellman's Plastics. Heard a bunch of women, and they were doing a lot. Like, weren't they making like
putting together plastic.
Like
things.
Forks and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Things like that.
Yeah.
So they had a boss at the time who he initially was really hard on especially hard on Roseanne, because Roseanne's kind of mouthy and she'd get written up a lot. She was really hard on all the women that worked at Wellman's Plastics. Not so hard on the men. So you could tell, he's a little bit sexist, but he's definitely like a pretty boy. And he ends up being a love interest for a short time of Jackie. And his name was what, Booker?
Yes.
Booker, yeah. And so he was played by George Clooney.
And I had no idea until I read this.
The minute you read that, though, we were watching an episode, like a month ago or something?
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, totally obvious that it was George Clooney.
He looks so different, though. It doesn't...
But until you know that, his hair, he's younger. His hair's different. He looks different. In 1993, an episode called A Stash from the Past.
And we're going to play a clip from that episode for you in here. That is my favorite episode of Roseanne. Oh my gosh, it is so funny.
Do you want to play the clip now?
We should just explain.
Go ahead, explain
and
we'll play the clip.
So A Stash from the Past, it was ranked number 21 on TV Guide's 100 Greatest Episodes of All Time. It is so funny. It was very edgy, I feel like, for that time. Because what had happened was Darlene was away at school, and Roseanne found a stash of marijuana that they thought was David's. Well, David took the credit for it because he thought it was Darlene's.
Right. He thought he was protecting her by saying it was his.
So what happens was Roseanne and Dan are alone one night, and they decide to try it again and relive their 70s childhood.
Then they find, like, all their old clothes and, like, their vests and stuff from when they were...
So this scene that we're going to play is after they've done...
Basically, they're high on marijuana.
I wasn't sure what to say.
They're high on marijuana. This is what's happening here. And come to find out at the end of it that the marijuana was actually theirs. They had, like, stashed away, or Dan had stashed away for, like, a rainy day at some point. And so it's a really funny episode.
Oh, it is so funny.
It's definitely the funniest episode of this show.
We'll play it for you.
All right, let's play the clip right now.
Do you feel anything?
I'm not sure. Maybe the stuff is too old. Did I just say that sentence out loud?
We're stoned. Do you have any more of those pudding pops?
No, this is the last one, and it's mine.
Well, I want it, Dan. And if I have to, I swear to God, I'm going to rip your whole arm off to get it.
That would suck. Roseanne, you were the most wonderful, beautiful, sexy, you know, thing. I really, really love you.
What?
I thought this stuff would make me feel younger. All I feel is old and tired and hungry.
Man, maybe this is how we got fat.
Nobody loves me.
Me, I got nothing. No boyfriend, no meaningful job, no husband, no family. It's just me. It's just me and my ganja.
Did you hear that? Sound like somebody's coming through the front door.
Excuse me, I'm paranoid, Dan. Birds, birds, birds.
Like it anytime. Now don't tell me you didn't hear that.
Is this the sink? Am I shrinking?
I love that episode. That episode is hilarious.
I know. My favorite.
I think that was one of the first ones you played for me. We didn't play them in order. I think you were like, you gotta watch this one, and you played it, and I was like, oh my God.
I still totally post that clip on Facebook all the time.
Oh, it's so funny.
Just for fun and sharing it.
Alright, so back to our little fun facts of Roseanne here. In 2002, Roseanne was ranked number 35 on TV Guide's 50 Greatest TV Shows of All Time. In 2013, it was ranked number 32 on TV Guide's 60 Best Series of All Time. What is the difference between a series and a TV show? Isn't it the same thing?
Maybe a TV show, because a TV show could be, like, any one show. But, like,
that's
a special,
true. That's true. Like,
or one,
like,
episode.
Or, like, you wouldn't refer to, like, The Tonight Show. Or, like, The Late Show with David Letterman as, like, a series. It's more of just a show.
Yeah.
Because it's not, like, there's not seasons. Well, there are seasons, but you know what I mean. Okay. So, we already talked about this a little bit, but Alicia Goranson, also known as Lacey Goranson, was the original actress to play Becky Connor. And the reason why she left the series, we already said this, but want to elaborate a little bit. The reason why she left the series was to go to college. She attended Vassar College, replaced by Sarah Chalk in the fifth season. And then they switched back and forth for a little bit. And then season 9, Sarah Chalk played Becky by herself. All right, so back to our list of fun facts here. This one's not fun. This one's sad. but we had to include this one. So Glenn Quinn, the actor who played Becky's husband Mark, actually passed away in 2002 from a heroin overdose.
And I didn't know that until I started researching for this episode, and I actually got really sad about
it. Yeah, it makes you sad.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate because I had no idea that he was had a drug problem.
A lot of actors,
yeah,
especially when you're younger, like child actors, they have a problem, like a real drug problem. Yeah. It's unfortunate. Let's see.
Corn.
Oh, this one is great. I did not know this.
But it's true if you think about it.
It is true if you think about it. Corn is shown or referenced on every episode. They eat a lot of cream corn. they are corn on the cob, corn chips. Like, they mention corn like in every single episode or show it. That's really funny. So when Johnny Galecki first started on Roseanne, his character was introduced as Kevin because at the time Johnny was also starring as David on the Head of the Class spinoff. You know what the name of the show was that he was on?
No.
Oh, nice research.
I know. My apologies.
That's all right. Not important because it really probably wasn't a very good show because Head of the Class was, not to offend anybody, but Head of the Class was not very good either. So once that series was canceled, Roseanne changed his name back to David because that's what he wanted him to be named all along, which is funny because they reference that later on.
Yeah.
Isn't there like an argument they're having one day, Roseanne and
there was. They were in, all in the kitchen and she was, Roseanne was trying to express how controlling Darlene was, and a quote she said was, David's not even his real name, that's just what she wants us to call him.
Yeah.
As reference says, his name was really Kevin, because, you know.
A couple more of these facts left. Matt Williams was listed as a creator of the series. He helped do some of the writing initially, even though all the characters were really all conceived by Roseanne, and it was really her concept for the show. So, I didn't know this one until recently either. Roseanne boycotted the show after producer Matt Williams was listed as the creator in the opening credits. So the first couple episodes, I feel like it says, like, co-creator or something like that. It doesn't say creator. And also there was some money issues, too. She wanted more money, and they weren't paying her, and they were kind of doing some things with, she'd write things a certain way, and they would make a lot of changes and force them on her. And there was other issues besides, I think when you read it like this, that Roseanne boycotted the show because they listed Matt Williams as the creator. It makes her sound really petty. There was a lot more going on than just that. But bottom line, she was unhappy. And so in the episode, An Officer and a Gentleman, she's only seen in the opening scene. And when she walks out, she's wearing an armband on her arm in protest. And that's a weird. We'll get to that, I'm sure, when we get to the season. So that's a weird episode.
It's weird.
Because mostly Jackie and Dan.
Because we actually, we should talk about our theory now since we're just on the topic.
Want to talk about that? Yeah, okay.
We kind of have a theory about that because we thought that at the time, the producers and everybody on the show thought that Roseanne was going to be done with the show. And that's what
I think you can, and I've read that line too, you can clearly see in that episode that you know, they have Jackie kind of becomes the mom of the house and she's cooking everybody breakfast. And, you know, they actually supposedly considered doing the show without Roseanne. And I know that what I read in line with the cast was like, there's no way we're going to do this without Roseanne. Can you imagine?
No.
What would they have called it?
Life and Stuff.
You ruined my last fun fact.
Sorry.
So the show's original title was Life and Stuff. And there are some episodes that are named like the name of the episode. Fights and Stuff. There's one I think actually called Life and Stuff. Mm-hmm. Death and Stuff. Like they play off of that, but Life and Stuff would have been a horrible name for this show,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, of course.
Not that Roseanne's like creative, it's the name of a person, but just Roseanne, you think of Roseanne as Roseanne.
Okay, so back to our theory. We didn't finish. So what happened in that episode with the whole Roseanne protesting was Jackie kind of took Roseanne's place while she was away on a road trip visiting, I think it was her sick dad. And they had Jackie, you know, taking after the kids, or yeah, watching the kids and making dinner and doing everything for Dan. And they kind of got a weird moment where,
oh yeah,
they were kind of, Dan and Jackie were kind of reminiscing about their childhood, and you feel like a weird spark between them, and it is, mm-hmm, just the weirdest thing because you're like, okay, what the heck is going on? And if you weren't aware of this whole boycott thing, you're like, what? You know, you kind of think, like, what is Dan doing? Why he thought he loves Roseanne? Like, it's just so
weird.
Well,
and doesn't she say she had a crush on him?
Yes.
And it's weird because, you know, as people who know of this show and watch this show, Roseanne and Dan are, like, they're definitely the perfect team. Like, they complement each other. even though they fight and even though they have their falling outs with each other, they, you know, they just complement each other really well, and they, you know, they're the perfect, you know, the yin to the other one's yang. There's certain things that, Dan can't do that Roseanne does, and certain things that Roseanne can't do that Dan does. And they're both, like, they don't take each other serious. They're both really goofy. Like, some of the best scenes in the show are them just being outrageously goofy, mm-hmm. which makes it funny.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, there's a lot of things that went into this show that really kind of make the show stand the test of time. You know, like we were saying earlier, it's a mixture of comedy along with really dramatic moments.
There's a number of episodes that have actually made me cry. Like, real tears. And you can ask Josh, he'll tell you.
There aren't very many shows that do that. Other than, like, maybe, like final episodes of some shows. But it's throughout Roseanne, there's these moments. And what made it last for so long and what made it still have this draw today is the fact that they were addressing these situations that were never talked about on television at that point. And it also made some people not like the show. It made it very controversial. But, you know, you think of, like, what else was on TV then? And I'm sure at some point we'll do an episode about Full House, which we love. But Full House, for as good as it is, if you watch it now, is kind of corny.
Yeah.
Like, there's times where it's a little bit dated. I feel like even though Roseanne, even though you look at the clothes and you go, wow, that was the 90s, and you can tell that it's old, it doesn't feel dated. Like, they're talking about things like teen pregnancy and teen sex and abortions and death.
Homosexuality.
And homosexuality and dealing with in-laws. And regardless of what your opinions are on any of those and your political leanings, and we're not going to get into that on the show, but these are just controversial topics. And they're things that it definitely had to have generated conversation. If not around the water cooler at work, but around, like, the kitchen table.
Yeah,
if you're watching a show with your kids and they bring up certain things, it's going to result in conversations within families. And that's what makes it so special.
So should we talk about some of the dramatic episodes, or no, do you want to skip that?
Let's talk about episodes that we feel were really important, kind of stand out.
Okay.
How's that sound? You want to start off with season one? Now, you're not a big fan of this season. I like it. I like everything, but season 9 is okay. Towards the end, the first half is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
But you don't like season 1 that much, do you?
I don't hate it. I just, I'm, like, fine with skipping over it. Because they haven't really made the characters come out of their shell, and it's not really the Roseanne that you know. And, I mean, that's, I don't hate it. I can take it or leave it.
So season 1 is definitely them defining who everybody is. They haven't really hit their stride yet. But there are a couple of good episodes. Season 1, Ependectomy. I had to pronounce that. Ependectomy. Darlene, the slice of life. So Darlene, her appendix is she has
appendicitis.
Thank you. Couldn't think of the word. And she has to go in the hospital, and it's scary because they don't know if, you know, what's going to happen, and they don't know if she's going to be okay. And so it makes for one of the first dramatic scenes in the series. And then you have Nightmare on Elm Street, which is the episode where Darlene gets her period, which freaks the hell out of Dan because here is his tomboy, school-pitching person who all of a sudden she's really moody and she has hormones, and it's kind of funny.
Oh, stop.
Stop what?
Moody and hormones.
It's true.
You need to calm down.
I can't wait one day until I have two of you when our stop. Little one
okay.
grows up.
This is, like, way too much information.
And I got to deal with that myself.
Can we not? I apologize.
Why do you apologize?
Everybody out there in podcasting.
They joke about it on the show. Later on, there's another episode about PMSing. It's okay. Season 2, Guilt by Disassociation. Jackie announces she will join the police academy, which is a big part of that season, is she wants to join the police academy. And Roseanne tries to talk her out of it, a little bit because Roseanne likes to control people and tries to control Jackie. But the other part is she loves Jackie and she's afraid Jackie's going to get hurt or killed being a police officer. Also during season 2, One for the Road, Becky gets drunk with her friend. So they're like Roseanne and Dan are what, like a date night?
Yeah, I think so.
And they end up mixing up this horrible beverage of like all this alcohol mixed together. And it tastes, tastes nasty. And they both get really, really drunk. This is the first time you really see Becky do anything that, you know, we're saying she's the good girl. And here she is doing something that's not responsible and not okay. And I think that's part of what bothers Dan and Roseanne so much about it is this is not the Becky that they know. And then you have An Officer and a Gentleman, which is the one we talked about already, where Roseanne was protesting the show and she only appears for one scene in the entire episode. And then one of my favorites, especially right now because I'm trying to do my taxes currently, April Fool's Day, which is about them doing their taxes, which is hilarious because they deal with the IRS.
She goes to the IRS and goes on this huge rant about all the stuff that everybody wants to say.
My favorite part is at the end when...
You need to play it, the clip.
I'll try to find it. Where Dan, or actually it's John Goodman, because he's not in character, at the end of the show, like after the episode's ended, comes out and is like, "Hi IRS, we love you, and like you guys do a great job, and please don't audit us."
"Hi, I'm John Goodman. Thank you. What you just seen was a play, a silly little play, chock full of jokes, and just for fun, just for your entertainment. I personally have nothing but the utmost respect for the Internal Revenue Service and all of its dedicated workers, because, you know, it's the great guys and gals at the IRS that keep America rolling. See, it's like this. I got a contract with a production company, and they hire writers who put words in my mouth. For example, early in the show, I go, it was my job to say it's a stupid system run by stupid people, right? Like, I believe that. As a matter of fact, I don't believe anything I said on the show. It was my job as an actor. So, I beg you, please do not confuse hardworking, responsible, tax-paying John Goodman with that lovable but naughty scamp Dan Connor. So, to the men and women at the IRS, my hat's off to you. Good night. God bless."
It's really funny. So season three, you got more acting out by Becky. Becky, this is where she begins to date Mark and defies her parents' wishes. And then you have
one of my favorite episodes,
which is yelled at me for talking about this, but they talk about it at Roseanne, about women being hormonal and horrible to be around.
PMS, I love you.
PMS, I love you, when Roseanne is just crazy and they all want to stay away
from
her.
And we have a clip for you.
Yes.
"Don't you guys realize what today is?"
"Oh, Dan, I forgot. It's Dan's birthday."
"Happy birthday. Hey, forget my birthday. Do I have to spell it out for you? PMS.
"Oh my God."
"Are you sure?"
"Jackie, I've been through this for 17 years, every 28 days, 204 times. Yes, I'm sure."
"I don't know, Dan. Roseanne seems perfectly pleasant today."
"And Crystal, when have you ever known Roseanne to be perfectly pleasant?"
"I'm gonna be at the mall. I got
basketball
practice."
"Me too."
No, hold on.
"It's gonna be a 24-hour roller coaster ride with Sybil at the switch."
"Well, I know just before my time of the month and those hormones get acting up, I'm good for one solid day of pure mean."
"You?"
"Oh, yeah. Once I went around and busted a street like forever man who ever broke my heart."
"Yeah, I remember the great blackout of 84.
"No, you can't leave."
Jackie, I'm warning you, if you don't let go of me, I'm fully prepared to gnaw my own arm off."
Man, Roseanne's got a big surprise party planned for you down at the lodge. There's gonna be like 50 people there."
"No,
yeah,
it can't be."
"Now, Dan, don't worry. Roseanne does not have PMS today."
"Dan?" "Do you think I'm pretty?"
Season four, you know, what's a bitter pill to swallow? Do you remember what that
one
was
about?
When
Becky asks for birth control.
Ah, that's right. Yep. Yeah, and then Aunt Jackie has to kind of help Becky figure out how to ask her mom. And that creates some issues with her and Jackie, with Roseanne and Jackie, because Roseanne doesn't want Becky going to Jackie. She wants Becky going to her. And then it just is awkward, too, for them. Mm-hmm. And then you got, you know, the only other big thing about season four is Darlene gets depressed. And there's an episode called Darlene Fades to Black, where she goes to the store with some money to buy clothing, and she buys nothing but black clothes. Now, during season four, Roseanne is now working as a Rodbell's.
Yes.
Which is a department store.
It's a restaurant. And a department store.
Well, right, department store, but they have a diner within it. Kind of like, I remember growing up, and this is probably for people in the Northeast United States, I remember Woolworths when I was a kid, and they had a diner in Woolworths.
Do you remember the Radio Grill at Walmart?
Absolutely.
I wonder if anybody else had a radio grill.
I used to always want to eat the radio grill.
Let us know if you guys had a radio grill at Walmart. We had one where we
Why is it called a radio grill? There's not like there's radios playing music. I don't know what that
is. I remember I used to always beg my mom to get me a hot dog every time we went to Walmart. And I don't know why, because it wasn't even that good. All right.
But you thought it was when you were a child.
I know. Moving on.
So season five, you have really the beginning of the end of Becky for a little while. Becky elopes with Mark and moves out. Because at this point, season five, Dan had opened the motorcycle shop. They basically, he decided he was going to buy this little motorcycle shop and sell and repair motorcycles because he's a very mechanical guy. And it was really a success for a little while, but then they fell on hard times financially. And Becky basically uses that as an excuse to leave, says, well, I'm one less mouth to have to feed if I move out. And she leaves with Mark, and they get married.
That's a pretty intense episode.
It is, because, you know,
you really see Dan.
Dan's hurting.
And, yeah.
And Dan doesn't want to admit that he's hurting. And it takes a long time for Dan to actually talk to Becky again. Mm-hmm. He's very angry about what happened. Season 5, episode 13, Crime and Punishment. DJ is busted at school for having obscene reading material. Come to find out, here Dan is thinking that it's like his old Playboys or something. And it's actually a comic book, right?
Yeah.
Drawn by
David,
by David and Darlene. Which kind of gives you a glimpse into how twisted Darlene's mind is.
Yeah, it was called Obscene Reading Material.
Yeah.
So another episode was Roseanne's dad dies.
Yep, that's a sad one.
And you can kind of see, I believe in that episode, they go to their old house where they grew up, and they talk about how they were hit and the violence that occurred.
That's really the first time that you kind of understand. And you feel, I mean, in a way, I felt a little bad for Roseanne's mom. I mean, they really kind of pick on her throughout the whole show, and they blame a lot of their anger and stuff on mom, when in reality, you know, yes, she allowed it to happen, but she was kind of a victim herself, and dad really caused a lot of issues. And then, end of season five, you have It's a Boy, which is an episode where David moves in with the Connor family and becomes really a de facto Connor. He's a member of the family. And the reason why is it's a really powerful scene. You know, basically, Darlene asks, can David move in with us? Because they're moving away, right? Isn't that what was happening?
His mom was moving.
Was moving away, yeah. And so she was going to end up having to break up with him. And Darlene, very upset, says, hey, can you let David live with us? They say no because they can't really afford to feed another person.
And other obvious reasons, too. Like, they didn't.
But financially, Dan's whole thing was, like, financially, we can't afford this. Why was Roseanne going over to the house? Can you remember?
No, I don't remember.
I think it was because they had to let Darlene see him one last time or something like that.
I think it was to pick up, I don't know. I really don't know.
We'll have to watch that one again. But anyway, so Roseanne ends up going over to the house, ends up seeing, the mom being really abusive to David. And right at that moment decides, without asking Dan, decides, nope, you're moving in with us. And so from that point forward, he was a member of the family. So then we got season 6, Be My Baby. So season 6, episode 5, Roseanne and Dan decide they're going to have another child. And they basically go on a schedule of when they're going to attempt to make the child. This is a family-friendly show. And they're not having any luck. And then Jackie discovers that she's pregnant from her one-night stand with Fred. And is hesitant about telling him. And, it's just all about, what do we do? You know, do I tell him? Do I not tell him? And for a while, Jackie wasn't even going to say a word. And thankfully, they decide to tell Fred.
Yeah.
And then, you know, a big part of this is them telling the mother.
That's one of my favorite
things. That she's pregnant.
And if it's a girl, I'm naming it Gidget.
So we should
have to listen.
Can we play that clip?
Yes.
All right, let's play that clip right now.
I'm pregnant. I went out with a guy I hardly know. We had sex for hours, and I got pregnant. And I'm not going to marry him. I'm keeping the baby. And if it's a girl, I'm naming it Gidget.
All right, and then you have a little more episode 7. David is depressed because Darlene... So, back up a minute. David and Darlene both apply to go to, like, art school, like, writing school. And Darlene gets accepted, David does not. So Darlene ends up moving out of the house to Chicago. And David's depressed because Darlene's at school and he's not with her. There's always, you know, there's a Thanksgiving episode that season. There's always actually a bunch of Thanksgiving, like two or three, right?
Those were kind of big episodes. Those and the Halloween episodes.
There's always like this drama in the household. Yeah, Halloween episodes are huge with all the, they're always the kind of weird Halloween episodes, but they're really, really a big deal.
Yeah.
You can tell like Roseanne in real life must have really loved Halloween because of the emphasis. There's not really is there a Christmas episode of Roseanne?
Yeah, there's Christmas episodes.
But it's not as big of a deal as the Halloween
ones. Yeah, not as big
ones.
Of a deal at all. They loved Halloween.
So, season 7, you also have David secretly living with Darlene, which was a big deal. He told his told them he was moving back with his mom, right?
Yeah.
And then he ends up going to Chicago and living with them.
Which was a big no-no.
A big no-no.
In Dan's book.
Oh, he got really angry. Jackie doesn't want Fred to find out. Or I'm sorry, Jackie doesn't want Fred to have any contact with the baby, but eventually marries him anyway. Jackie's very dramatic.
Yeah. I know. She's like at one end of the spectrum, and the next episode she's on another.
So Roseanne, toward the end of the season, announces she's pregnant. And then you have, I believe, is it the Thanksgiving episode that season where they don't know whether the baby's got something wrong with it or not? And they're waiting on the results of testing?
Yep. What happened was Roseanne had an amnio, and the results came back. They later find out that they were contaminated, which was good news for them. But they thought that something might have been wrong with the baby. So that was a big dramatic episode. And that was, I think, one of the episodes that contained really controversial topic, because there was a lot of talk of abortion in that episode. Yep.
Oh, definitely very controversial back then. So then you get season 8. Darlene finds out that she's pregnant, which is a shock to everybody. And then you have Darlene gets married in that same season to David, because it's really kind of a big deal. Because David wants to ask her to marry him because he feels like he has to because she's pregnant. And there's definitely some awkwardness there. And then, but at the wedding, and this is, for me, it's like one of the, not worst, but like, for me, it's actually one of the, you talk about how like some of these episodes make you kind of teary-eyed.
I cry this one, every episode.
This one is bad. It's
and
really
not
heavy.
Just cry, I start bawling.
So throughout the episode where Darlene's getting married to David, you can kind of tell that Dan's just not right. He's kind of pale, he doesn't feel good, and he thinks that, oh, maybe it's something I ate, or maybe it's the nerves because my little baby's getting married. Well, at the end of the episode, he collapses, and it kind of fades to black, and all you hear is ambulance, like, sirens, and Dan had a heart attack. And so part of season 8, towards the end of season 8, is Dan coming out of the hospital and having to recover from having a heart attack and dealing with his own mortality. And it results at the end in one of the, I think
this is where the show gets really, really, really real. Because where else in a show do you see a couple having a huge, dramatic, violent...
huge fight.
Fight.
And it's because, you know, it's all based out of love. I mean, Roseanne loves Dan, and she feels like Dan's not taking this seriously. That he could have died, and he's just kind of messing around with his life and taking risks that he shouldn't be. And so you really see in this fight, you know, it really kind of speaks to the dynamic between the two of them. And it's uncomfortable to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll play a clip of it right now, but listening to it's bad enough, but it doesn't do it justice. Watching it, it's one of the few times, other than like The Office, which is a different kind of uncomfortable. If you watch The Office, there's times where you feel really uncomfortable for Michael.
Yeah.
Who's the boss in The Office. And for anybody who knows what I'm talking about, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. This is uncomfortable, but in a different way. You almost feel like you shouldn't be watching this because it's very personal. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. But again, it's also relatable because it's real life and things that happen behind closed doors and you just happen to see it on TV.
Yep.
And I think that that's why everybody loves this show.
Fine, if you don't want the food I make, then okay, and you know what? We don't need any more of this health food either.
So, I'm going to watch TV.
Oh, of course you are, Dan, because that's what you always do when anything gets too damn real around here.
I do not do that.
Yes, you do. You run to that TV and walk away from me every single time there's a problem in this family.
Why the hell shouldn't I walk away? You never let me do squat around here. Problem with the kids? Hey, you'll handle it because I'd sure as hell just screw it up. I watched these kids grow up around here without ever knowing what was going on or even who they were. And just look at the way they turned out.
I think they turned out great.
Oh, please, Roseanne, look at them. They're not exactly the Kennedy kids.
No, they're not, but their dad sure drinks like Uncle Teddy.
They're failures, Roseanne, and the only reason you won't admit it is because you'll have to admit you failed as a mother.
The only way I failed as a mother is to let Becky and Darlene get married so young that they threw their whole life away on a man. Just like I did.
You didn't throw away a thing.
Yes, I did, Dan. I threw everything away.
So. That's fine. That's just great.
I'm going to show my daughters that you don't have to give up your dreams for some stupid guy.
That's fine. Well, you just moved to Chicago for all I care. Then maybe your damn family won't be hanging around here all the time. Give me some room for my family to come. Hell, they can't even show up for Thanksgiving anymore.
Oh, so that's it, huh? It's my fault that you don't have any kind of relationship with your family. God, you are pathetic! Did I ever stop you from picking up that phone and calling your mother?
Hey, at least I put my mother in a psychiatric hospital where she can get some help instead of letting her run around the streets like you're scaring people.
Well, my mother might be like fingernails on a chalkboard, Dan, but at least she's allowed to grow fingernails.
Well, that's perfect. You got an answer for everything, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, well, why don't you tell me how to clean up this you false decoration?
Okay, I will. I want you to pick them all up using your ass and start with the pointy things.
You are controlling?
No, I'm not, Dan. I am just trying to do whatever it takes to get you to get up off of your ass and stop staring at that TV.
Boy, I tell you, I wish I had never been...
What? Say it.
Nothing.
Well, that makes two of us. You can die if you want to, Dan, but you're going to have to do it alone because I'm not going to sit here and watch you. I'll be at Jackie's.
If you really want to see it, which, I mean, you should, we'll have it in the show notes for you guys. We'll have all these clips in the show notes so you can watch
them. Definitely. So we also should mention, just want to back up a second, I don't know what season it was, but earlier on, because we're kind of just glossing over the big points of Roseanne, earlier on, after the Rod Bells closes and then she loses her job working at the diner, her and Jackie decide to start a restaurant that makes loose meat sandwiches.
Called the Lunchbox. I forgot about that.
And Leon, who was their boss at Rod Bells, ends up getting involved as like a partner. Oh, something else, a little known fact we should have mentioned. Not only do they have corn in every episode, but remember the chicken shirt?
Yes!
There's a chicken shirt that's...
It's a turkey.
I thought it was chicken.
I think it's a turkey. Let me Google it. Keep talking.
Are you sure?
Keep talking.
There's a shirt in every single episode. Isn't it like an egg? I thought it was a chicken. And now she's, this is magical for podcasts. This is like magical radio here. You're Googling.
I am.
On your phone.
Oh, it was a chicken.
I was right. Ha ha. That's now recorded for everyone to listen to for posterity to Josh's life. So the chicken shirt, which was famous. I really want that shirt. I want to buy that shirt somewhere. And like, it's funny because it's not just Roseanne. Some's Roseanne's wearing it. Some's Jackie's wearing it. DJ wore it at one point. Like, you just see like these little scenes where someone's wearing
the
shirt.
The story behind the chicken shirt was Roseanne saw it and thought that it was the ugliest shirt that she had ever seen.
Was that what it was about?
Yeah, so she wanted all of the characters to wear it at some point. I don't think Dan ever wore it.
Oh, no.
I don't remember Dan wearing it.
A lot of them wear it, though.
But they all end up wearing it at some point because it was ugly. That was her thing.
The chicken shirt. So that was another little known fact about Roseanne. Okay, so now we're on season 9, the last season, and I think the worst season. So... honestly,
there were a lot of episodes that I really liked in this season.
Yeah, but there's a lot of episodes that are bad,
but there,
though,
yeah,
too.
There are a lot of episodes you can just skip over.
There's, it just got weird, really, really weird, and honestly,
we'll explain why.
You could kind of tell, like, season 9, you can tell, like, it's probably a good thing that as much as I would have loved to have seen another season of Roseanne, they probably ended it at the right time.
Yeah.
Because they were really kind of just reaching for ideas. I think you see that in this season. So, quick summary, and we'll play a clip. Let's play a clip right now, and then I'll talk about it, okay?
Roseanne! Roseanne, where are you? I've got to tell you something! Where's my baby? What? We won the lottery! This is the winning lottery ticket! I've got it right here! Remember, you told me to watch it on TV!
What are you talking about?
We won the lottery! I can't believe it!
What lottery?
The lottery! The Illinois State Lottery! It's the biggest one in the history of Illinois! It's $108 million!
You mean...
We're the people that picked the 6 winning numbers!
Oh my God, you're telling me that we won the Illinois State Lottery, $108 million. Is that what you're telling me? Is that what you're telling me?
Let's tell Dan. No! Dan has just had a heart attack and is trying to think and kill him!
What's going on?
Don't panic!
Why? What's wrong?
Nothing! Nothing is wrong.
Nothing is wrong. Nothing will ever be wrong again.
Dan, I have something to tell you. But before I tell you, you have to promise me that you are not going to collapse or turn blue or anything like that.
Scout's honor.
Okay.
was one of my favorites.
Roseanne and Jackie. Ever. Is it end of season 8 that they buy the lottery ticket?
Yep, last episode.
So they buy a lottery ticket and they found they've won millions. And so they this really kind of is the catalyst to a lot of weird stuff happening. So Dan's mother, I think earlier on you find out that Dan's mother is mentally ill and needs constant care and medication and whatnot. And so once they won the millions, Dan decides, well, I'm going to take some of my millions because part of it's his, and I'm going to put my mom up in the best hospital that I can pay for and get her the best care because he really loves his mom. So Dan goes to kind of disappears. Like, you don't see him for a few episodes. He goes to California, and when he gets back, you find out that he acts really, really weird, really distant. And isn't it around the holidays when this happens?
Yeah, Christmas time.
And he reveals that he had fallen in love with his mother's nurse. And you know, this is the first time you see, like, Roseanne and Dan were always just this couple. They were, even though they had huge fights.
My mouth dropped open the first time I saw that.
Even when they have huge fights, they're always this couple that did this team. They're like, you know, this tag team. And now they're, you know, in Roseanne's eyes, they're no more.
Look, Roseanne, a lot's gone down over the last 6 months, and I've had a real hard time dealing with it.
Well, yeah, it's been rough on all of us, Dan. But, you know, now that you're home, we'll get back to normal.
Well, yeah, even though I'm home, I still feel like I'm somewhere else.
Well, that's because you got a lot of that residual California crap still left out in your system, you know? You'll be fine again once you get back to drinking water out of the tap.
You know, I was alone in a way out there. I had a lot of time to think about things. And I feel like there's something inside, you know, something's missing. Like there's a big hole there.
Well, as long as there's no exit wound, I don't think we should worry about it.
I don't know what I'm saying here. I got something really hard to tell you, and I don't know how to start.
Well, I am your wife, Dan. You can
Roseanne,
tell me.
Something really, really awful has happened. I've met someone.
Someone?
I met a woman.
Okay, so by met, you don't mean just met, or it wouldn't have taken you so long to tell me.
It's more than just met.
How much more?
I met her at the hospital.
Oh, yeah? So there's a chance she'll be dead soon?
She's my mother's nurse.
What?
I didn't sleep with her. Roseanne, you gotta believe this. I did not go looking for this. I didn't plan on this. If I had a choice, this wouldn't have happened.
If you had a choice, you didn't really just say that to me, did
you? I'm sorry. It's just... Look, after I had my heart attack, I got spooked. I started facing my own mortality.
Oh, I get it. She's younger.
Oh, Roseanne.
No, I'm right, aren't I? How much younger than me is she?
Come on, Roseanne, what do you want me to say?
So what does she do for you, Dan? She hangs on your every word? What, she rubs the knots out of the back of your neck? Does your mother know what you were doing out there?
No. I don't know what I was doing out there. I don't know what else to say.
Well, are you in love with her?
I'm very confused. I know that I still love you.
Oh my God, who wrote that line?
I'm sorry.
Well, this never would have happened if we hadn't won that money, would it? So what now, Dan? We're part of the privileged class? And I get to give you the typical response of the numb society wife, like I'm supposed to look the other way when they catch you in a hotel with some call girl. Well, I don't have that blindness that only money can buy, Dan. I'm not Rose Kennedy. I'm working class. And that means there's right and there's wrong. There's black and there's white. And no amount of money is going to get me to see gray.
I know that. And I know that I have a duty to this family and I intend to see it through.
So that's what we argue after all these years, Dan, your duty, right? Well, isn't that just great for you? Then you get to be the hero and the martyr. Well, don't bother, Dan, because while you work on, I learned something, too. I'm going to be fine.
It's killing me, Roseanne. You got to understand this is tearing me apart.
After all these years, this is truly, truly the very last thing I would have ever expected out of you, Dan. Your duty is over. You're free. Go.
And they have a separation for a while. It's also things like, you know, so Roseanne's dealing with missing Dan and dealing with all that. And there gets to be some really weird episodes. Like, they go to these lavish parties. There's one where they go to the spa. There's one where they're taking a trip, like a vacation or something, and they're on a train, and like Roseanne is like Rambo, and there's terrorists that hold the train hostage. It's just, and there's like weird musical numbers in the middle of episodes, and yeah. Darlene's future baby is actually possessed by Satan in one of the episodes. Like, it gets weird.
Yeah, it does get really
It's almost like you're watching a dream sequence. It's weird. And we'll talk in a minute why that was. They end up, I don't think they knew what they were doing as they were doing it. I think they kind of wrote it as they went along at the end. They're like, oh, here's a good ending to end the whole show. So then, obviously, so Dan's in love with the nurse. They break up. Roseanne falls into a deep depression. And then Roseanne is trying to figure out whether she wants to give Dan another chance. Because Dan realizes that he screwed up. And Dan realizes that he screwed up, and he asks Roseanne to please let him back in the house. And so Roseanne's kind of, well, should I let him back in? Should I? Shouldn't I? And Darlene goes into labor prematurely, and the baby almost dies.
That was a really heavy
episode. That's a really sad episode, too. It really is. And then as all that's happening, you know, then we get to the last episodes of the show, which I still think should have been one episode, not two.
Mm-hmm.
The first one, first part is more of like a clip show, or not clip show, but more of like them talking about things that happened previously. Basically, the baby ends up making it, David and Darlene's baby, and they bring it home, and there's this party of them welcoming the baby into the home. And Dan's back with Roseanne, and you think everything's wonderful. And so the first half of the show is them having a pizza party. And it's kind of weird. And then the second half, and everybody knew this was the last episode of Roseanne, they were kind of wondering, how do you end it? Do you just kind of end it with everybody happy and going on with their lives? And, you know, do you kind of show in the future what everybody's up to? And how do you end it? And there was, I remember back then, because this was like 97, so I was 11, and we had TV Guide. I remember reading articles, and they were talking about what are they going to do to end the show, and what's the final scene going to be like. Well, little do we know, Roseanne had quite a doozy planned, and quite a shocker. Like, probably one of the worst twist bombshell endings in the history of TV.
And we will play that for you. It's
a
little long,
we're gonna play it.
But
why don't we play it now, and then we'll talk about it.
Okay.
And again, last warning, if you don't want to know what happens to all the characters at the end of this show, and you've never watched Roseanne, or you haven't made it to season 9 yet, turn off the podcast right now.
I can't believe it.
Everyone wonders where creative people get their inspiration. Actually, I found it's all around you. Take Leon, for instance.
Manners, police. I'm sorry, Dan. No whittling at the dining room table.
Leon is not really as cool as I made him. He's the only gay guy I know who belongs to the Elks Club.
As far as I'm concerned, George Bush was the best president we ever had. I mean, look at all the fat that he cut out of Medicare.
You know, in China, they believe in reincarnation, so they have a hell of a time with their probate law.
And then there's Scott. He really is a probate lawyer I met about a year ago and introduced to Leon. I guess I didn't get too creative there. A lot of kids have called my son a nerd, but as I told him, they called Steven Spielberg a nerd, too. A lot of times, nerds are really artists who just listen to the beat of a different drummer.
Roseanne, will you keep your children in line? I didn't raise my children to throw chopsticks.
My mom came from a generation where women were supposed to be submissive about everything. I never bought into that, and I wish Mom hadn't either. I wish she had made different choices. So I think that's why I made her gay. I wanted her to have some sense of herself as a woman.
You may think I'm crazy, but it is the women's movement that has destroyed the family unit.
Oh, yeah. And she's nuts.
Hey, man, check out my fortune here. True love lies where you least expect it.
You better not.
Mark, I think I got yours. Deep thoughts run shallow.
There's lucky numbers on the back. Let's play the lottery.
No, thanks. I can't get rid of all this money now.
My sister in real life, unlike my mother, is gay. She always told me she was gay, but for some reason, I always pictured her with a man. She's been my rock, and I would not have made it this far without her. I guess Nancy's kind of my hero, too.
Women's shelter needs furniture, so if there's anything you don't want, let me know, and I'll have it picked up.
Because she got out of a terrible marriage and found a great spiritual strength. I don't know what happened to that husband of hers, but in my book, I sent him into outer space. When Becky brought David home a few years ago, I thought, this is wrong. He was much more Darlene's type.
So do you want to go to this poetry reading before the museum?
Yeah, before. I want to pick up some books first.
Oh, great.
When Darlene met Mark, I thought he went better with Becky.
Get me a beer.
Get it yourself, slob.
I guess I was wrong, but I still think they'd be more compatible the other way around. So, in my writing, I did what any good mother would do. I fixed it. I lost Dan last year when he had his heart attack. But he's still the first thing I think about when I wake up and the last thing I think about before I go to sleep. I miss him.
Lynn? Rosie? Roseanne?
Dan and I always felt that it was our responsibility as parents to improve the lives of our children by 50% over our own. And we did. We didn't hit our children as we were hit. We didn't demand their unquestioning silence. And we didn't teach our daughters to sacrifice more than our sons. As a modern wife, I walked a tightrope between tradition and progress, and usually I failed by one outsider standards or another's. But I figured out that neither winning nor losing count for women like they do for men. We women are the ones who transform everything we touch. And nothing on earth is higher than that. My writing's really what got me through the last year after Dan died. I mean, at first I felt so betrayed, as if he had left me for another woman. When you're a blue-collar woman and your husband dies, it takes away your whole sense of security. So I began writing about having all the money in the world. And I imagined myself going to spas and swanky New York parties, just like the people on TV, where nobody has any real problems and everything's solved within 30 minutes. I tried to imagine myself as Mary Richards, Jeannie, that girl, but I was so angry. I was more like a female Steven Seagal, wanting to fight the whole world. For a while, I lost myself in food and in a depression so deep that I couldn't even get out of bed, until I saw that my family needed me to pull through so that they could pull through. One day, I actually imagined being with another man, but then I felt so guilty I had to pretend it was for some altruistic reason. And then Darlene had the baby, and it almost died. I snapped out of the morning immediately, and all of my life energy turned into choosing life. In choosing life, I realized that my dreams of being a writer wouldn't just come true. I had to do the work. And as I wrote about my life, I relived it. And whatever I didn't like, I rearranged. I made a commitment to finish my story, even if I had to write in the basement in the middle of the night while everyone else was asleep. But the more I wrote, the more I understood myself and why I had made the choices I made, and that was the real jackpot. I learned that dreams don't work without action. I learned that no one could stop me but me. I learned that love is stronger than hate. And most important, I learned that God does exist. He and or she is right inside you, underneath the pain, the sorrow, and the shame. I think I'll be a lot better now that this book is done.
Happy birthday, Mom. Here, pencils.
Yeah, and I got you some notepads.
And I got you a dictionary and a thesaurus.
You know, Stephen King started this way.
So, yeah.
So sad.
That is just a complete, like, just shocker. You don't see that coming at all.
No, not at all.
So, you know,
so that explains why
season 9
was so weird.
Yeah, season 9 was weird because it was fiction written by Roseanne.
Yeah.
So Roseanne, in previous seasons, they bought her Dan fixed up this room for her birthday with like a writer's table. And she used to be a writer. She used to write poetry and things. And Dan was always encouraging her to take up writing again. And so you found out that Roseanne was writing again. In fact, she was writing like a memoir, a book about her life. But the difference is that in her book, she doesn't want it to be completely nonfiction. In fact, she wants it to be a little bit fiction. She wants to make some stuff up to make it kind of in a way for like, it's like therapy for her.
Mm-hmm.
And so that last scene that you just heard, you know, she's sitting there eating dinner, everybody's laughing, they're having pizza, and she starts looking around the room. And you find out that, you know, not only was David married to Becky and Mark married to Darlene, which actually, once you realize that makes a little bit more sense because they're a little more compatible with one another. But let's see what else before we get to the big one.
Jackie is gay.
Not the mom wasn't gay, right?
Yeah.
Or do they ever? I don't think they say that. But
yeah,
like,
they do.
They do? Okay. Yeah. And we probably should play that clip and listen to it for ourselves before we talked about it.
I've seen it 100 times.
You know, we've watched this episode like 10 times at least. but Jackie is gay, and she wrote Jackie dating all these different men because, you know, she felt that just made more sense to the story, and she always saw Jackie, you know, being married or dating men and all that. Mm-hmm. And then the big bombshell is that Dan didn't make it. He died after that heart attack. He died and he passed away, and all of season 9 is all just made up in Roseanne's head.
If you think about it, though, right when Darlene met David, back in, what, season 3? It had to have been started from there, because Darlene was with David. That had to have been where she started writing, and that's right after they did her office for her.
So, I never really thought about that.
So almost the entire show was written in her head.
So you think not just season 9.
Oh, yeah.
You think the entire show was written in her head.
Well, yeah.
See, I thought that the reason why Darlene is dating David is just because it's her book that she's just, you know what I mean?
But you have to think about it. The book started when Darlene started dating David.
Well, the show is the book.
Yeah.
In essence.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Right. Yeah. Yes.
Sorry. Yeah, I don't know what to say. It's a sad note to end it on.
I know. I mean,
Roseanne, we already mentioned this. Roseanne, you know, I think I'll just wrap up my thoughts on it, and then we'll get your thoughts, and then we'll be done our first episode in over a year. I just think this show, you know, but for someone who didn't grow up watching it, maybe a little bit, but didn't grow up watching it regularly, I kind of feel sad. You know, when we reminisce about 90s things on this show, usually we've both partaken in that thing. And in this case, this is more of a, this was you, your childhood. I think a lot of people listening to this will be their childhood too. But it is such a good show.
Oh, and it is a good show.
It's very unique, and I don't think there'll ever be a show like this again on television. Mm-hmm. Because now, you know, like, what would you do to, back then this shocked people and it created controversy. What would the newest controversy be now? You'd have to have something like Naked on television or something, because we've come so far.
I think they do.
Well, not on network television. You think about it, though, like, you know, abortion, it's all over, you know, that debate, no matter what side of it you're on, is all over the news every day. You know, teen pregnancy, there's a teen mom as a show, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Not a big deal anymore. We're kind of desensitized to these things. And Roseanne was just like the right show at the right time with the right cast and the right writing.
We really encourage you, if you haven't watched it, go and do so. I think it's on Netflix, but I don't recommend doing Netflix.
Netflix has the Roseanne collection.
It's not
so
all
it's like
the
season 1 through, I think, 5, and it's selections.
Yeah, it's not every episode. So if you can somehow get to all of the episodes, do it that way. That's the way to do it for sure.
I'm pretty sure that like Amazon Prime might have them. Mm-hmm. But you know, if you have Netflix and you want to, you've never watched and you want to get like a good introduction, watching the Roseanne collection is not a bad idea. You just aren't going to get any of the later episodes.
No, I don't recommend it.
We disagree.
I disagree.
What's new? Shut up. We're like Dan and Roseanne.
Stop.
So anyway.
Except I don't throw things into the TV and break them.
So
I could if you want me to.
Well, you're Italian, so at some point I assume you're going to throw dishes at me, but probably. It hasn't happened yet.
Or get my wooden spoon.
So before we sign off here, because I'm sure we've been talking for quite some time, we're like an hour. Do you want to give shout-outs real quick to who we got reviews from this week?
Yes, we did get
Amy announced on Instagram that we were going to be recording a brand new episode and coming back after a year's hiatus. And you've been really heavily promoting this thing on Instagram.
I have.
And we had a couple people go through and listen to all the old back catalog, so to speak. And we got a couple of good reviews.
We've been getting so many downloads. It's just crazy.
Like over 100 a day. Last week we had like 1,000. In a week.
Yeah.
So it's more than 100 a day.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
So let's see. We have
Shout out time.
From Sarah C. Awesome startup. Great startup podcast. I'm sure you guys are still working at the kinks. Yes, we are. We had to do six takes of the intro.
This is like take 7 of this podcast.
But awesome nostalgia with everything. I love the TGIF episode. You guys should do a horror 90s kids TV show.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Episode.
Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Oh,
Goosebumps.
Yeah.
Goosebumps. Like, there's so many good things we can talk about.
And can't wait to see what you guys come up with. Next is from an Amy, and it's not me, I swear.
It's not. I wouldn't let her.
So, let's see.
What does Amy say to us?
Loved the episode in Y2K. My parents stocked up on canned food and bottled water.
Sounds like us.
Keep them coming. I heard a Roseanne episode is up next. Yes, please.
So, yeah, thank you guys so much for the reviews. That makes us so happy.
So, please, you know, like our page on Facebook. Share the podcast with your friends.
I feel like our Facebook page gets no love. Well, we get all the Instagram and Twitter people, but well, no Facebook.
We don't have any new episodes to post yet. We'll start pushing it. And we have a new website coming soon. I'm going to wait to announce what that is because it's kind of cool, and I want to wait until I have it up and rolling before we make that announcement. But for now, without the website, you can find us on Facebook.
Yep.
You can find us on Instagram. You're on Twitter. And then if they want to send us an email, it's what?
GenerationYPodcast@gmail.com.
Yep.
And also, too, like I had said before, if you want to see the show notes with all the clips, you can just go to generationypodcast.weebly.com.
That's true. Yeah, the old site will be up for a little while. Notes. And then we'll migrate everything over once we start the new site. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so show notes will be up on there. Send us an email if you have an idea or a request for a show you just want to say hey and talk to us. And leave us a review and share with your friends. And until next time, we will we'll keep keeping it real with the 90s and watching Fresh Prince and Roseanne and listening to TLC and
Spice Girls.
Oh, Spice Girls. And how about Green Day? There, I got mine in. And next week's podcast is going to be about, it's my pick, we're talking about Laserdiscs, because that's a big part of me growing up in the 90s. And I'm sure at some point we'll do VHS too, but Laserdiscs next week. And then we got the next couple are going to be, we're going to do Full House. We're going to do some more music, because I love doing that One Hit Wonders one that we did.
That was one of my favorites.
And we'll end up doing a Zoolander, because that's coming up too. So the new Zoolander's coming out, so we'll do Zoolander. So that's like the next 4 or 5 episodes. So I'm excited. I'm happy to be back.
Me
and,
too.
And we will see you guys next time.
Thanks so much for listening.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Doesn't kill us, is making us stronger. We're gonna last longer than that greatest wall in China. Oh, that rapping with a drum. If there's one thing that I've heard while waiting for my turn, it's that in each life's a rainfall, but you also get some sun.